So let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for your living word to us this morning. We pray now as we reflect upon it, you will come by your Holy Spirit and speak to each one of us. Move among us and meet us at our own point of need, that we might be blessed and filled again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Those who were gathered were utterly amazed. Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? The day of Pentecost arrived. The day of waiting for the disciples was over. They had obeyed Jesus to the end and had been waiting for the Holy Spirit to come, just as he had promised. And came the Holy Spirit did, and blew through the whole house. And what seemed like tongues of fire came to rest on each of the disciples. And they began to speak in other languages as the Holy Spirit moved them and touched them. Can't imagine what that must have felt like. We're all sitting here quite comfortably this morning, aren't we? Or maybe not comfortably, but we're all sitting here this morning and we've asked the Holy Spirit to come among us. But I wonder what would happen if suddenly the place was to start shaking and the whole place was filled with this tremendous rushing wind and we could see tongues of fire lighting on everybody round about us. Would we still sit in our seats? Or would we be rushing out the door saying, I don't know what's going on here? Can't imagine what it was like on that first moment when Pentecost arrived. The Holy Spirit arrived and touched the disciples who'd been waiting and waiting and waiting for that moment. I think there are three words that describe what happened that first Pentecost day. The words are heard, saw and spoke. Firstly, those present heard a sound, what was like a mighty rushing wind. Secondly, they saw what appeared to be tongues of fire spreading out across the crowd, touching everyone. And thirdly, after hearing and seeing, they spoke out, they preached out. They testified to the great good that God was doing among them. Jesus had said that he would send to them his Holy Spirit, who would be their helper and who would stay with them forever. The people outside in the street were mocking. They were saying, they're drunk. They must be drunk. They couldn't imagine that God would use ignorant and unlearned people from the backwater of Galilee to speak the languages of those present with such skill and such precision. But in spite of the scoffing and the mocking, Peter gets up to his feet and tells everyone gathered about Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior. His sermon is recorded later on in this passage. And we have to realize it's not a long sermon. It doesn't start off with a funny story. It's not in three different points. It doesn't have lots of different illustrations in it to try to get through to the people so they might understand more clearly. Peter simply gets up to his feet and tells those gathered about Jesus Christ, what he's done and what he is doing for them in their lives. He simply testifies to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we hear that 3,000 people heard and believed and were baptized that day. 3,000 people! Can you imagine it? 3,000 people coming to the Lord simply by hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. In the church, we are really happy, aren't we, if we get two or three people joining the church by admission of faith, by profession of faith. We're really overjoyed. I think we set our sights too low. Maybe we'll not get 3,000, but hey, maybe if we spoke out more about the Lord Jesus Christ and testified to him and what he's done in our lives, maybe more people would want to come and be part of the fellowship of believers. 3,000 were baptized that day. And we read on later that those who were baptized, those who were followers of Jesus, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who was in need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. What an exciting time to live through, the birth of the church. An exciting time, a time of wonder and joy and praise and prayer and sharing and being together in community and fellowship. And every day as they faithfully met together, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. The book of Acts is like dynamite as these first followers and the first disciples and apostles went out into the world, and they couldn't stop talking. They couldn't stop talking about Jesus. He was in their hearts, he was in their minds, he was in their very souls, and off they went. And more people came to know about Jesus Christ and his saving grace. You know, the one thing that we need to remember and understand about the God whom we serve is that he wants to speak to us. He wants to reach us. He wants to touch us. And he never stops trying to communicate his love to us. He never stops trying to reveal his heart to us. And he demonstrates over and over again just how much he loves us. He loved us so much that he gave his only son to be our savior, to rescue us from the power of sin and death, and to offer us forgiveness and mercy and freedom and new life, the gift he offers to everyone. Our God is a God who wants to communicate with us. He wants to commune with us. He wants to speak to us, and he never stops trying to get to us. Do you know a sure sign that two people are in love is that they long to be with one another. More than that, they want to communicate with one another by letter, by telephone, by email, by texting, by tweeting, and all the other kind of ways that people communicate with each other. And people who are in love just can't stop doing it. They want to talk to each other. They want to be with each other. They want to communicate with each other all the time. This communicating is so important. It's a way of expressing ourselves, of sharing ourselves, of giving and receiving. And that's what God longs to do with us all the time. Every time we gather to worship, we gather with the promise that God will meet us here. It's really important to remember that as we come together Sunday by Sunday to listen for God, to listen for him as we sing the hymns together, to listen for him as we join in prayer, to listen for his reassurance of the forgiveness of our sins, to listen to him as he speaks through his living word, as we reflect upon the word together, to listen to him as he speaks to us, as we join together in the sacraments. We join together this morning with Ivy as she came for baptism. God was speaking to us, reminding us of our own baptism, of our own dying and rising to life. He speaks to us as we gather round the table to share in Holy Communion, sharing the bread and the wine. The Lord comes to us and ministers to us through his Holy Spirit. And it doesn't just stop when we go out through the doors of the church on a Sunday morning. God continues to speak to us in everything we do, wherever we are, whoever we're encountering. We need to keep listening for God's word to us. God spoke to those gathered at the first Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came upon the people there. And it's interesting, isn't it, that each person gathered heard the word of God in their own particular language. And I was thinking about that this week because somebody came to speak to me about a sermon I preached last week. And she said, "And you were talking all about waiting and this and that." And I said, "Was I? Was that what I was talking about?" And she said, "Yes." And I was thinking, "No, I'm not really sure that's what I was talking about." But you see, we forget sometimes, us ministers, you know, we stand up and we start speaking out and we're preaching to the people who are gathered. But we forget, I forget sometimes, that the Holy Spirit is there too. And he's taking the words and he's weaving them in and out, and he's taking them to touch people at their own point of need. So the word goes out and each person hears it in a slightly different way, because the Holy Spirit knows what we need to hear and what we need to be happening to us on any particular Sunday or any other particular day. So the Holy Spirit spoke to the people in languages and in words that they were able to understand. The Spirit of God communes with us. There's the outward Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit that's all around us, but also for each believer, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. And so we get this kind of deep calling to deep going on all the time, as the Holy Spirit of God interacts with the Spirit that is inside each one of us. So we see in the book of Acts the changes that happened to the first disciples. We see in the book of Acts the changes that happened to other people as the Holy Spirit came upon them and began to move among them, to minister to them and to allow them in turn to minister to other people. And I say the book of Acts is just like dynamite. You can't read it and not be changed when you hear and you read and you see what these first followers of Jesus were able to do in his name, simply because the Holy Spirit had come upon them and had filled them. Paul has a lot to say about the work of the Holy Spirit. And he describes Spirit-filled people and how we can recognize the Spirit at work in others' lives. He talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. This is how we recognise the Holy Spirit at work in our lives and in the work and the lives of other people, by the fruit that we bear. The Holy Spirit changes us. The Holy Spirit lifts us out of a dark place and puts us into the light of Christ for all time. And whenever we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us, that's it. We can never be the same again. Never be the same again. Once we've been captured by the Holy Spirit, we're out on a whole new, different walk in our lives. It's just been such a joy for me to be here today, to be present in this significant moment in little Ivy's life. And she's lying there, she has no idea, no idea of what has taken place here today. But she will as she grows, because the Holy Spirit will be present with her, working in her life. And you've all made promises here this morning, all of you, to watch over her and to encourage her and to be kind and gentle to her, to display the fruits of the Holy Spirit to her and to all of the other children who are a blessing in your midst, that they may grow to their full potential. The little seed has been planted in Ivy today, and we want to encourage her to grow to her full potential in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an exciting day, isn't it? Pentecost is always an exciting day when we remember the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples and the believers and the birth of the church. But don't let's pack it all away at the end of the service. Don't let's just put it in a wee box and we'll get it out again next year at this time. There's a prayer in the vestry. I don't know if you're aware of that. There's a prayer on the vestry wall. And what it says is that the prayer is that you pray, we pray that the people of Carluk will see the life of the Holy Spirit in this congregation. And that as they see that life of the Holy Spirit within the congregation, they will be wanting to be drawn in and to be part of what's going on. Isn't that a wonderful prayer for anyone who's about to come out and conduct worship on a Sunday morning? That the people of Carluk might see the Holy Spirit shining out from you. And who knows? 3,000 may be converted and brought in through the doors, and you'll have to bring an extension to the church. It's a day of celebration. Keep listening for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got things to tell you. He's got work for you to do. He's got people for you to speak to. I encourage you in your journey of faith today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this special day of celebration, when we remember the Holy Spirit falling upon the first believers. But it wasn't just for then, Father. It's for now. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would just continue to fall upon us, that we would be open to all you want to say to us, that you will fill us up to overflowing, that we can't stop speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so fill us today again, we pray, that we might faithfully serve you in the world. For we ask this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.